This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from The Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like this show and you also like the paranormal, then be sure to check out my other podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every single Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of The Grave Talks.
Today on The Grave Talks, who is the ghost in the trench coat? A conversation with Sean Bowman. It all started with a strange man standing in the basement wearing a trench coat. It wasn't a family member. It wasn't a friend. It wasn't even living. It was, however, the first paranormal experience for Sean Bowman. First experience of many that would lead to a life that involves seeking out answers to the paranormal questions that plague all of us. What happened when Sean investigated a location? Another investigator came under possession. We ask that and many more questions today on The Grave Talks.
Probably when I had my first experience, which was when I was a child, I'd say probably like four or five, I'd say, because we moved into a new house when I was 4 years old. And me and my brother both saw a guy in the hallway in a trench coat. And the way my house was set up, like you came in and there was a hallway, and then like, if you went straight, you went into the kitchen, there was like a little corridor there, and to the right there was a doorway, and to the left was a dining room. We were in the dining room building with mini bricks, and my brother's 6 years older than me, and like I said, I was probably about four or five, because it was shortly after we moved into this house. But we were building with mini bricks, and in front of the doorway we saw this guy in a trench coat just standing there looking at us. And you know, we both like freaked out, and my dad was in the living room. Went to my dad, told my dad. My dad like looked through the house, looked everywhere, you know, looked down the basement and couldn't find anything. And the funny thing is, years down the line, when I was an adult, I saw a psychic, and she brought something up about being there was a spirit in our basement. So that, I think that kind of like ties into each other, you know?
So you saw the guy, was it clear as day, just like some intruder is hanging out in your basement in a trench coat? Or did it look, you know, transparent, shadow like? How would you describe its visuals?
I mean, I was definitely a solid person as far as I can remember. Like I said, this was a while ago. I'm 41 now, so that I can remember, it was a solid person. And like I said, my brother was 6 years older than me, so he was a little bit more, you know, older, and he still remembers it to this day too. So, but yeah, it was a solid person is what it looked like.
What was your like emotional reaction to the guy standing in your basement with a trench coat?
I mean, I freaked out, I guess. Like, I wasn't used to seeing something like that, that's for sure.
I mean, I can imagine. I mean, it's what immediately goes to my mind, and I'm gonna what I'm thinking of back in the 80s, think of television, think of spooky shows. Where was the trench coat? Who was wearing the trench coat? Thoughts?
I mean, it would have been in the 80s because, it would have been late 80s. Like, you mean like a describe? Kind of remind me like the Gordon Fisherman guy, kind of, I guess.
Oh, the Fisherman guy. Okay.
Yeah. If I had to like describe what the actual person looked like, I'd say something like that.
Special moment here on the program. I've summoned the man. He's here to tell you what's going on. Take a listen.
It was me, Robert Stack. I was looking to film a new episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
There you go. That's all it was. It was Robert Stack. we have a voice generator of Robert Stack. So
that's awesome.
I was thinking like, oh my gosh, that makes me think of that. So you have this moment of seeing the guy in the basement. Your brother saw it as well. Did you guys talk about it? What was kind of the attitude around the house and the atmosphere?
Like I said, we both talked about it. We said something to my dad. I'm guessing eventually we told my mom because I don't remember her being there, but she had to be in the house, I guess. Like I said, it freaked us out. There was other things that happened at that house too, like later on in life. And I actually lived in that house probably about 20, 25 years. Like eventually my parents moved out and I lived in that house by myself. And, I wouldn't say it was as common when I got older, but I still saw stuff. Like there was stuff out of the side of my eye, or I remember like being in my bedroom and I saw like a black shadow. When I was a kid, I thought I saw a family at the foot of my bed. We used to hear stuff up in the attic.
Let's identify some of these things a little bit more in detail, because these are like life-changing moments for anyone. And you've had so many of them, you can just kind of brush them over. It's like, yep, family at the end of the bed, you know, no big deal. There's a spider in the corner. So tell me about some of these other experiences you had later in life. Tell me some of them that really did stand out to you, you know, more than others, that really, you know, more than it piqued your interest, obviously, but you know, had gave you an emotional reaction.
Like I said, some of the stuff I remember is a family being at the end of my bed. I was a kid at that time, and that was in I had my own bedroom. When I was older, I ended up moving to my parents' bedroom, which is a bigger bedroom. So I was in my kid bedroom. Mm-hmm. And at the foot of my bed, like I woke up in the middle of the night and there's like a family standing at the foot of my bed. And I don't know, you know, now as an adult, I think, you know, it could have been just waking up out of a dream and maybe, you know, that's what it was. But as a kid, like it always stuck with me, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's those moments. Do you think, because you go to the dream idea impossibility, mm-hmm. when you were a kid and you were having some of these moments, did you go there often? Did you go there and it was a dream? It was a dream more so in just kind of a coping mechanism to process what was actually happening?
Probably. I mean, I've always grown up, you know, with like even horror in general. Like I've loved horror movies and, you know, used to watch like Child's Play and Exorcist and stuff like that. So maybe, you know, I thought could be my imagination.
Mm-hmm. But deep down, you knew that there was something going on in that house. Was it ever, I mean, obviously you stayed there for quite some time, including when your parents moved out. So was there ever a feeling of uncomfortable, or was it more of a, you know, you're cohabitating and everybody's cool?
I think as an adult and when I was by myself, it was more cohabitating and everybody was cool. Like maybe I was more scared when I was younger, but I don't know. Even like now, like doing paranormal investigations, like I'm not very scared of anything, not to sound like cocky or anything. Sure. It's just like I'm like used to it and like it doesn't really bother me, you know?
Tell me about that a little bit. I mean, even someone who does have has been accustomed to paranormal things throughout their lives, there's still moments, there's still times where, you know, sometimes there's fear. Why do you think it is for you that doesn't register as strong as it may for someone else?
I think just growing up around it and just like being used to it. And I don't know, I've always been somebody who's like to explore, even if it's by myself. Like, you know, I'd go out and like even when I used to go to high school, I had to walk through the woods to get to high school. Mm-hmm. And I live in Pittsburgh. with like daylight savings time and that sometimes during the morning, you know, it'd still be dark out. So you're walking through the woods by yourself in the dark. And like, I just grew up like, that's normal to me, you know? Mm-hmm.
I know what it was. It was the 80s and you were wearing a No Fear t-shirt. So that immediately made it completely okay.
Exactly.
Half the audience knows what I'm talking about. The other half is like, I think I saw that at a Goodwill once. So you live in this house for a while. Tell me more about how life progresses and experiences progress. And did you have other experiences personally prior to wanting to dig into this deeper as an investigator?
Like I said, there was a couple other things that happened at that house. Even not just with me, like I remember my mom said, like when she lived there, that she thought she saw somebody. She actually thought when it was one of my friends, she was like, why was his, I'll go by his nickname. I won't tell you his real name, but, Beans, she was like, why was Beans walking around in our house? And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, he wasn't in our house. It was like 3 a.m. or something. Why would he be walking around in our house?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she thought that he would, I mean, when your mom had the thought that your friend was there at 3 a.m, is that a plausible idea that you would have friends over that late?
Yeah, occasionally. But I mean, okay. At the time, like he wasn't there. And I don't even think he's ever slept there in my house, honestly. Like I've had other friends sleep there, but I don't think he, because I was probably, I'd say probably a teenager, maybe early 20s, but probably a teenager I think at the time.
But because it was somewhat plausible, she just kind of brushed it off like, you know, it's a late night. They're hanging out. It wasn't get out of bed. What the hell's going on?
Well, she was kind of like offended because like she thought he was like creeping by her bedroom, you know, so it was kind of weird. But like,
yeah.
Like, why would he be doing that?
There, I saw Beans in my room last night with a camera. What was that all about? Yeah. Like, no, he wasn't here. That's wow. So did your mom have an acceptance of this, that these things were going on? What was her mindset of it at the time?
Well, she definitely was into paranormal and stuff like that. I mean, my mom passed away in 2018. Mm-hmm. So like, I wasn't like as deep into it as I am now. Mm-hmm. But she always was into the paranormal. My dad was more like the history type of person. That's why like some way, like, you know, like Gettysburg, like my dad would love the history side, my mom would love the paranormal side, you know?
Sure. Did you ever get a chance to have like in-depth conversations about all the stuff that you experienced there?
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to other people. Some people, you know, like my wife obviously knows about a lot of stuff that happened. Some of my friends and everything. And
I mean, even more with your mom. I mean, more with your mom.
With my mom. She only said that about that one experience. She knew about the thing with the trench coat with me and my brother. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we've talked about like I've seen somebody on the steps before.
Yeah.
And just like little things over there. Like I said, I lived there 25 years. So there wasn't like a ton of stuff happening. Like this is over a 25 year span. And I think it was more active when I was a kid than when I was an adult. But there was a couple of things that still happened.
What do you think that is sometimes that hauntings get more active at certain points in time? Sometimes it's when there's children around. Sometimes it's when a specific person is around, regardless of age. When you look back on your situation, why do you think there was a time where it seemed to peak more than others?
Well, I kind of think maybe it had something to do with like remodeling the house. Cause I know like when we got the house was over 100 years old. It was the oldest house on the block. It's still there too. But, it was like an old farmhouse. Mm-hmm. But when we first moved in, you know, like we replaced the windows and did stuff with the bathroom and this and that. And, you know, by the time I was living there, like towards the end, it was starting to fall down actually because I didn't have the money to fix it. Okay. So like maybe that's why, you know, it wasn't as active as we all wasn't really messing with it, you know?
Sure. You think it had to have something to do with kind of disturbing the property? And tell me about your thoughts on that. I mean, just, you know, being an investigator, having, you know, experienced and seen and heard more stories beyond your own now from people's very personal, you know, aspects. Do you find that more frequent? I mean, obviously, it's kind of a cliche where it's like, well, are you working on the house? Well, that's why it's happening. What are your thoughts on that concept in general of that stirring things up?
I definitely think it's possible. I mean, if think about it like this way, like if this was your house and you grew up with it a certain way, like you'd want it kept that way. And it's even like, I know there's a property in Washington County that just sold recently, but it was like a big old mansion. And the big rumor was, you know, it was the big old haunted house. And like, anytime somebody came in, like they would try working on it and they'd leave their lifts there and leave their tools there because like people didn't want, you know, disturbing their property.
Is there ever a way to please spirits with disturbing the property? Like more so, okay, we're going to restore this to what it was when you were alive versus we're going to make it a modern farmhouse with tons of shiplap.
Yeah, I would think so. Like if you brought it back to maybe its glory, I guess, instead of just like putting, you know, I don't know, TVs HGTV, on the wall, yeah, and stuff like that, and yeah, more modern stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's like, we're going to turn this into an HGTV home. I think the ghosts are like, no, please don't. Interesting. So tell me more about your life as things progressed after that.
Well, I've had a couple other experiences in different properties over the years, and then actually, I'd say I probably got more involved with the paranormal after my parents passed. My dad died in 2011. And then, like I said, my mom 2018. One of the things I remember back when my dad passed is we went to a Girl Scout camp. It was in Gettysburg, actually. And as we were coming back, and I don't know how many people, and I don't even know if I really believe in like the apps on the phones or whatever, but I was using like a ghost app on the phone.
Sure.
And, one of the things, like we were talking about my dad at the time, me and my kids, and I think my girlfriend at the time was with us too, but we were talking about my dad at the time and we're like, you know, asking the app questions, and the app said Bubba, which is what my kids used to call my dad.
Yeah.
So that's really like how, like I could see the app like saying like house or something stupid, like, but how would that app know that that was what my kids called my dad, you know?
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.